talked a lot about this guy over the past 10 days, and coming up in 20 minutes, we'll talk to Bob Vulgaris, Haralabob, the shadowy GM for the Mavericks. But first,
Haralabob.
It's the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by A Number One Air and Tylock George Laser Eye Care.
I saw a piece in The Atlantic recently. It was talking about the psychological benefits of commuting to work, and that a lot of people miss commuting to work. Which is interesting. It caused a division in the comments section, as you could imagine. I don't know if you could even comprehend that a piece could be posted and then people would argue about it in the comments section. But a lot of people agreeing that, yeah, they miss going to a workplace because they miss having a dividing line between home and work. And although there's benefits to working from home, you know, which at first everyone thought, hey, this is great. No commute. I don't have to get dressed up. I just dress from the top up for my Zoom calls. And then I can be in my G-string up under that. It's great. But then as it wore on, a lot of people were saying, you know what? I kind of miss the commuting time because I could shift between my home life brain and my work life brain.
Yeah.
And think about what it was for the ticket. That was a lot of people's ticket time.
Right. Yeah, and I talked to a number of people who said some of those same things, that they never knew exactly where the line was to turn off work.
Yes. You know, yeah, you don't have to commute home to shift back.
You see at the desk that you've been working at all day long, you think, yeah, I'm going to go over there and work on this for a second. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, it's 9:30 at night and you're still at work.
Right.
My friends who've done this, it's split. The friends who don't have kids love not going into the office. And the friends who do have kids wish they could go into the office. So the kids kind of blur the lines too much at home, I think.
Yeah. Because kids don't respect the dividing line between, well, I'm at work right now.
Right.
But I don't understand. You're sitting right here. So if I have a question, I can just ask you. And I'm sure there's some spouses that don't respect the dividing line of work. Hey, just quick question. A quick question that throws you on a 20-minute derailment. So the psychological benefits of commuting to work. Let's see if I had... another thing that people pointed out is that some people's home lives are chaotic and stressful. It kind of goes into your the kids thing. Is if you have chaos at your house at all times, you got a lot of people living under the same roof, you might kind of like going into the office to get your work done.
A little peace and quiet.
Yeah. The other thing is it tends to benefit those who have bigger homes. You know, people say, oh, man, I love working from home. Yeah, well, you may have a home office.
Right.
What about if you have a home in which you only have a corner of your bedroom that is dedicated to work? Then it sucks. So, all right, let's talk about Krunk. I stumbled on this this channel, and I really liked it. And it was based on the fact that we had a conversation with Donnie yesterday about a song and how some songs transcend generations. And one of those is the song by A-ha, Take On Me. I was singing that yesterday, and that kicked off this discussion with Donnie. Do you have the computer up there, Jer? I'd love to play a little bit of this. Is this a great song? I remember kind of thinking it was, you know, it's a good song back in the day. But why is it still? Why did it survive and become an example of an eternal song?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's very upbeat. It puts you in a good mood.
Listen how bad it is, though.
Not that bad.
I mean, gosh, get to the vocals already.
My daughters love this song.
All right.
I mean, it's not that good a song.
God, that is... splitting my brain in two. Right up under it.
Oh, So I found this dude's channel, his YouTube channel. His name is Pluff Nub. And he has so many musical bits, it's ridiculous. He's obsessed with just making musical chaos. And he's really funny. He's a musician. He's a good musician. But everything he does on his channel is just like bored chaos. I mean, it's stuff like, I'm going to play this song with a 7-foot guitar strap. And so the guitar is way too low so he can barely play it. He has another one where he plays Smells Like Teen Spirit on guitar without listening to the backing track. So you hear both of them, but he gets off and he starts a chorus too early. So he just does bits like this all the time. He plays, one of them that cracked me up was playing Panama. Do I have this? He has, What Would Panama Be Like by Van Halen If Eddie Can't Stop Playing the First Chord. And as it just builds, it gets so madness, I'll get pulled. What's that sound? Here she comes, full blasting top down. Hot shoe, burning. Tell me it will drive your brain insane. Zero discipline. Don't you know she's coming home to me? You lose her in the church. I mean, it's just time waste stuff like this. He gets loop brain on things, and he just he gets curious as to what would it be like if, like, he'll do stuff like, what would it be like if Rush had all the same songs, but they had a crappy bass player? And so he'll just take the actual tracks, and he'll redub the bass line with a bad bass player.
What?
It's so right up my alley.
Yeah. I mean, the time he must spend on that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he spends tons of time doing it. But he gets the worst ideas possible and then spends tons of time chasing that idea. He's like a Nathan for You for music almost. He actually did a treatment of this song here. This is a common song heard on this show with the guitars out of tune.
Oh. Got to get out of this song in this rut.
This is what goes on in my head every night.
25 years and my life is still. Vocals are okay.
Oh yeah, perfect. It's just none of the guitarists tuned to each other. Man, I want to get a radio station that plays nothing but these types of songs. And I would make it more subtle than these, to where I just make it a little bit off. Like that aha one, I think, is
just a little bit.
That aha one, I think, is a good one because he did that vocalist. He took the song and made the vocalist half a step lower. So it's always he's singing right up under the note.
Yeah.
But you can tell it's the same vocalist. It's like, well, that's the lead singer of aha. And all the instrumentation is the same, but something's wrong with this.
So he had to take the vocals out of that, pitch correct, and then put it back in.
He got a multi-track recording of it, yes, and took the vocals and just told the computer, I want this half step lower. And he'll do that. He'll zero in on some instrument, and, I mean, he's just got so many videos.
Rush with the bass player who sucks.
Yeah, bass player sucks. He did another one that was all of Michael Jackson songs played at the same time.
Good God.
And it's the biggest wall of noise you ever heard in your life.
All
of them. So he takes like 5,000 songs and plays them all at one time. He loaded up and made 5,000 tracks on his computer.
Does that even sound like a song, or is it just...
No, it sounds like a wall of noise. Yeah. It's just such a mess. The name of the channel is Pluff Nub.
And he probably he's monetized this. I'm sure he's doing really well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's got, I don't know, 100,000 viewers. He's got Don't Stop Believing, Pitch Shifter Madness.
Yeah.
usually he'll leave the instruments the same, then take the vocalist and make them all over the map.
Just a small town girl.
Uh-oh, got a little pitch in here.
Living in a lonely world. She took me not train going anywhere. Just a city boy. Born and raised in South Detroit.
God.
He took the midnight train going anywhere.
God, that's crazy to hear Steve Perry missing those pitches that badly.
That's kind of spot on with him today, isn't it?
Dude.
He just,
why do you do this to me?
He can't quite hit the notes anymore.
You know I love Steve Perry, and you love bringing up the fact that he was not that great when he would be brought out to those baseball games and they'd throw a mic in front of his face.
And what would happen?
Well, he has to sing about two octaves lower than he used to.
His voice is real gravelly.
But people age.
Our thoughts and our prayers are with him.
Okay, that's so kind of you. So kind.
All right, Gordo. Thank you. That's the ODEC 632 on the ticket. We've been talking about this guy for 10 days. The shadowy GM for the Mavericks coming up next. We visit with Haralabob Vulgaris.